Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
The show to the history.
Welcome to the Theater Podcast, intimate personal conversations with theater's biggest names and continuing the Quarren Queen takeover for the month of May. We have Adriana Hicks from the Broadway cast coming at you on this episode. This video of the interview, in case you didn't know, is available at ttp.fm/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. The whole thing is there on, we recorded on Skype, so you can watch that yourself. And there is so much more coming this month. This is only halfway through, and there's more queens coming at you, so make sure to subscribe. If you haven't already, tell your friends. And if you do become a patron, then you can see all of the videos from all the episodes for the Quarren Queen Takeover, past, present, and future, as well as anything else I do later on down the line as well. So before we get going, I just have to ask again, please leave a review, leave a rating. When you're leaving a review, tell me what your favorite thing about the podcast is. I want to know. I want to hear the feedback. So find me online at theater_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And now, everyone, please enjoy this episode with Adriana Hicks.
Listen up, let me tell you a story.
A story that you think you've heard before.
We know you know our names and our fame and our faces.
Know all about the glories and the...
Today's guest is returning to Broadway as Catherine of Aragon in Six. She's appeared on the Broadway stage in the past in the revival of The Color Purple and Aladdin. Her regional and touring productions include The Wiz, Six, The Color Purple Revival Tour, Ragtime, and Buddy Holly. Internationally, she has done Sister Act in Germany, Legally Blonde in Austria, Dirty Dancing in Germany, and has even toured with Michael Bublé in his Call Me Irresistible tour. Adriana Hicks, welcome to the Theater Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is really cool.
Yeah, I got my crown on for those watching on video.
I mean, it's so great.
My virtual crown. I know this thing's cool. Hold on, I can change it too. I can go like, bloop. There we go.
Oh. Oh. That is fabulous. That matches what I have on.
All right, I'll keep this one for now. So, my goodness, I've chatted with a couple of the girls already. And I mean, I've started out all the episodes kind of in the same way. And it's just like, oh my God, your opening night was ripped away. That March 12th was supposed to be opening night, 5 o'clock that afternoon. You hear that Broadway's shutting down. What happens to you? Like, what went through your head?
Literally 2 hours before. It was interesting because I had gotten a text message from my makeup artist for that night, for the opening night party and everything. And she was like, hey, is this true with your, you know, your theater? Like, there was someone who had COVID-19 of Laibu. And I was like, yes, but he was very separated from where we were and they already took precautions and took care of it. And it was only him. And she was just like, you know, I have kids who have asthma and I don't know if I'll be able to come out tonight. I'm so sorry about that. So I was like, girl, it's fine. Called up my other friend. And this is about 1 p.m. That day. And my other friend was like, girl, yeah, I'm willing to do your makeup. So that was taken care of. I was like, okay, great. The show's going on. And then around 2 p.m., I know that I had scheduled myself to go to the theater really super early, about 3 p.m. before the 6:30 show. And I get a call from my agent. And my agent was like, yeah, so the governor just issued a, you know, shutdown of the city with no more gatherings of people over 50 people in an area. So I don't really know if you're going to be having your opening night tonight, but I just wanted to give you a heads up, and I haven't got the final confirmation from anybody from the company yet. So just give me a second to confirm that, but I'm so sorry if this does happen, but we'll let you know. And then literally 10 minutes later, he was like, yes, sweetie, it's done. That was so surreal because, first of all, you realize that you're in a moment in history where you're kind of like, this never happens. And especially for Broadway, I know Broadway will keep rolling until it has to shut down. And for this to be, yeah, within the hour, had all my family and friends here. I had friends from Germany, friends from another tour. My roommates were coming, and my mom and my brother were there. Friends from LA, and within an hour, I had gotten groceries, and they were on a flight home. Like it was really something. Yeah, I know one of my friends from Germany stayed behind, and my friend from LA stayed behind, which was so helpful during that time. I was so grateful to have my loved ones all around me when it happened. But yeah, I was like, this is going down in the books. It's something I'll never forget. It was a very interesting day.
Like, what was your resolve? Was there tears, or was it just like, all right, now we got to prepare and we got to go get toilet paper and water, you know,
whatever. Whatever you do to survive the apocalypse, pretty much. It felt like that in that moment. But no, it was just very like, okay, game mode. Okay, mom, like, let's get my mom home. She's a little bit older, so we need to make sure she gets home and she's taken care of. Get my brother home and see groceries. I was just in that mode, like, game time, do whatever we need to do. And at that time, I decided to stay downtown just for opening night, just so that I wouldn't have to commute back and forth home. And yeah, so it was my resolve with that was just like, I'm so thankful that my family's here, and I'm glad that we're able to get everyone home, game mode, make sure everybody's safe. And it didn't hit me until all of my friends were gone and all of my family were eventually gone around that Friday or that Saturday, because that was a Thursday when they closed down everything. Mm-hmm. And I just went home and I just wept because I had like my flowers from some of my friends from Hawaii and just like, you know, some of the gifts from opening. But I was like, no, I'm not going to touch everything. I'll just take the flowers because I don't want them to die. And yeah, I just went home and it was 2 days before my birthday as well. My birthday was on that Saturday. Aww. So I literally, Thursday happened. Saturday, my birthday, and that was the day that I was finally home after everyone had left, and I just cried. I was so thankful for another year, my birthday, and I wept, and I went to sleep and had a moment, but it was great. I had a great celebration with my friends and my community for my birthday. They just wanted to reach out to me in love, and that was so, I was overwhelmed mostly with the love that I had for the past few days in that moment to be in a crisis mode and for people to be around me to support me. That was probably the most overwhelming thing about that. That kind of made me cry. It was like, okay, this is disappointing, but wow, I am so loved by so many. And we need that, you know, during this time. And I'm grateful that I had that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was such a weird time. And I can imagine for you too, because you did the tour, the North American tour of Six. I mean, the six productions, plural, have just been this massive whirlwind, and you've been nonstop and doing the tour and then going to Chicago and then coming to Broadway and going through a month of previews, right? It was a month, right?
It was a month, yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, this is supposed to be the moment. And then you're like, eh?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, your routine, everything you're building for, building. And I think it was, it was one of the other girls was saying that it's not, I mean, the show's going to open. Broadway's going to come back. The show's going to open. And now the opening night is going to be so much bigger and so much badder and so much more amazing than it would have been in the first place. And you're going to be rested. And your voices are going to be totally fine. And like all of, you know, the stress and the health of, you know, of being able to rest for months, you know, will obviously be helpful too. So
really grateful for that. I am not gonna lie, because we were tired, but but we were ready. You know, we were ready to go and do our thing.
Mm-hmm. And you're now in Atlanta. You said you were telling me before we started recording that you're with your brother in Georgia. Mm-hmm. When did you move down to? When did you go back down to Georgia? Was it pretty quick?
It was maybe a week after we had opened. It was literally a week to the day, I believe. That next Thursday, I ended up coming because they just started to make some speculations on the news about possibly, you know, things shutting down further. Because at that point, restaurants, I think, were on the brink of like, okay, we're not opening. They're not opening restaurants. It's only grocery stores and Body Blue. And there were also talks about halting domestic flights. And I said, well, I'd rather be with my brother just in case something happens. And and actually have places to, you know, go outside instead of being on top of everyone in New York City, which, like, it's fine. But, like, for this situation, I thought it'd be best to be with my family. So that's when I left. It was literally a week to our opening, where our opening was supposed to be.
What are you doing now to keep yourself busy?
Man, a lot of things. You know, I've taken over.
There's a dog.
Her name is Gabby, so just having fun with Gabby. and I've really been painting a lot, which has been so much fun for me. I used to do that way back in, like, high school, and just decided to pick that up again. I when I do it, it's like once every blue moon. But recently, it's been so therapeutic for me to just kind of release my stress and do that. I work out whenever, every day, pretty much, just to keep my body active and just to feel those endorphins and feel happy and joy. And you know, Netflix and movies and a lot of journal writing as well. But nothing too extravagant. I'm really just taking my time with the pace of things and, like, doing little things here and there on social media, but nothing huge. And that's been really nice for me, you know, just to kind of slow the pace. Because when have we, I mean, for any performer, like, when have they had a month off to just kind of coast a little bit? I think about people in Aladdin and Lion King, and I'm like, guys, been doing this for years with maybe a week vacation every year, a 2 week vacation.
Wicked. And yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how, we're athletes. It's really cool, but that's pretty much been me. And this is just enjoying my time with my brother. I think, like, what's been really cool too, is just making an event out of, having dinner together and having a breakfast together, making, like, blueberry pancakes for the first time by myself, like, you know, just doing these little things and exploring with, just with food. Cause when you're on the run in New York, usually you don't really have the time to cook, or you don't feel like cooking, just cause we're exhausted from the day. And, so that's been really good to just, like, have dinner as, like, the event of the day. What are you going to eat today? Spaghetti. Okay. And then we're just, it's been really great. Yeah, that's kind of, like, what my days have been. And there's some days I'm just bored and I just embrace it. Cause, like, when do you ever get a chance to embrace being bored? I don't like it. It's very, like, before anything is said, don't get me wrong, I don't like it. I really, really don't like it, but it's just another learning thing, I guess. Cause when you have time to be bored, I don't know. It's interesting.
Has anyone ever told you, you seem like an old soul?
Really? Oh, that's great. No, I haven't.
I was going to say was that, like, through all of this, and I've talked to a lot of people, especially in the quarantine times recently, and you're very introspective and very mindful, and you're like, all right, I'm going to sit with myself, and I'm going to acknowledge my boredom, and I'm going to work with this, and let's make an event out of eating spaghetti. And these are things that you know, I would not expect from somebody, you know, even as young, you know, I am 39, right? But, like, I deal with a lot of older people. And, yeah, you're very much just like, all right, I'm going to take it. I'm going to be with my family. I'm enjoying myself here. And actually, when I was researching you for this episode, you know, there's not a lot on social media, just in general, before quarantine. Like, you're very, like, you post promo, like, show things and mm-hmm. career stuff, but yeah. You know, you're not posting personally online.
Not so much. I don't know. That's just always been me, because I just rather enjoy just promoting the things that I've done, because I've always been, thank God, it's been a great experience to enjoy, blessed with so many things that I've done, you know, and I'm really, really thankful for that. And I like to highlight that and be like, guys, like, look at the art that's happening. It's so, so cool. But I've just always been that person. I'm thinking, like, should I be doing something? Should I do that? But I'm like, no, just, like, continue to stick and be you and just, like, let that happen and let it flow, you know? And that's what's so cool about people who actually do that. They don't come from a place of, like as much as I, of people that I know, they were like, no, I just like doing it. And I like posting when I sing. I like doing that. And that's what I want to be in that mode if I ever do something like that. But yeah, I'm very chill when it comes to all that. And plus, I don't really know. I'm not really, like, social media savvy like that. I am kind of older in that kind of way where I'm like, I don't know. Okay, this is cool. I don't know, but yeah, I'm really proud of people who like just really do those things. It's really cool, but I'm finding my niche in knowing who I am and just keeping it simple, I guess. I'm pretty simple and chill.
Well, do you have more siblings than just your brother or just you and your brother?
I have more siblings. Yes, I have. I'm the baby. I have two older brothers, and I grew up with this one. My other brother, he's like way older than me. He's like his mid-50s. He's older. So, yeah, but that's it. I'm the baby in the in the family.
Well, it was interesting. I was gonna guess that you were a middle child because you don't seem to want the attention on social media. Like you don't use social media for attention. Yeah. Obviously there's something that drew you to the stage and to singing and to performing and into getting that validation, you know, from standing ovations every night. Mm. So that's what I was trying to get into. I was like, oh, she must be the middle child. All right. So she's getting, but not the youngest child, which I guess youngest child still needs attention too.
Yes. I was very much the prince. Like, mom called me princess. You know, I had those moments growing up, for sure. for sure. I don't know. I think I've always been, but even as a child, I remember that's what got me into musical theater. Once I found out musical theater was what I wanted to do, was because I was always that kid, went to her room. You know, this might be a normal story that you hear from a lot of people, but that was literally me as well. Like, you know, that's my story. I went to my room, closed the door. We're going to perform Princess Jasmine today. So put Aladdin on and like, let's be Princess Jasmine. Let's, you know, like I was, and my parents sometimes would come to my room and be like, okay, she's good. She's just in the zone. You know, she's over here trying to perform.
By yourself performing?
By myself, just in my room, honey. I used to love, the George Balanchine's The Nutcracker with Macaulay Culkin. There was a point that I wanted to be there was so many points I wanted to be a ballerina. And then I was like, no, I've always been singing, but I love acting. So once I found out about musical theater, I was like, oh, that's all three. Let's do that. And but I've always been that introverted kid. But also extroverted at the same time when it comes to me being on stage and having to perform. Like it's like a switch. But those are my safe havens. You know, I've always been that introverted kid in their choir. Like, oh, she's good. Yeah, I've just always been like that.
Oh, no, I totally get that. There's so many people, so many actors that are introverts. And that's their way of getting the attention safely. It's a safe, stress-free way to get validation and to get attention. Because you're literally reading something else somebody wrote. And, you know, it's predictable, you know, more or less as much as live theater can be. And, and you're being another character and it's safe. It makes you feel good. Yeah, I totally get that. I totally understand why you're there. But, so did you grow up in Atlanta too?
No, I didn't actually. I grew up in Texas.
Oh, really?
I am a Texas girl. I was born in California, but my family and ended up moving when I was really young at 4 years old. And then from there till before college, I lived in Texas.
Well, what then? Well, okay. So musical theater and Texas to me don't really go together.
That is so interesting. Okay.
So I know there's a lot of music, like a lot of bands and things come, like in Austin, of course, there's tons and tons of music scenes down there, but I don't think of like a lot of people from Texas getting into musical theater. You know, and this might be a stereotypical thing for me generalizing, but being like a heavy red state, musical theater is like, you know, the same reason that I personally was not encouraged in North Carolina, another red state, to get into theater is because like that's what girls did.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as a straight guy, it was like, why do you want to do theater? Girls do that. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go play sports then.
Oh gosh, no.
So I mean, where did you find your opportunity though?
It was, you know, that's interesting that you say that about Texas, because we're kind of like the highly competitive state, you know, or country, a lot of people say about Texas. Yeah. And honestly, like anytime we would go to, okay. So to start off, I started off in high school when it came to musical theater, because I didn't know about it until then. And And there was this this organization called the International Thespian Society. That's how I kind of got to know where I wanted to go to college. And it's pretty much like a workshop situation for all of the kids in high schools around the all over Texas. And you have the state one, and then you have the international one, and or the national one. And we will all go there every year during high school and just do take different workshops from different Broadway performers and like have the college recruiters come out and they see us perform. And then we have like competition to go to main stage. So that was kind of my first experiences with musical theater and being like, oh, this is really cool. And it's a competitive thing and you can get paid to do this. Like I didn't even think about getting paid to do what I love to do at that time. Yeah. And that's how it kind of grew from there. So there regional theaters in Texas, I didn't really know much about that either until I got in college, actually. But yeah, Texas is a huge, you know, they have Tuts. They have like, you know, in Dallas or Fort Worth, there's Casa Manana. There's like a whole bunch of theaters within these areas that they're pretty heavy hitters for regional theaters. A lot of people know about them. So yeah, I was blessed to be able to work in those theaters and work with some amazing people. And it's amazing how the people that I worked with there, they actually have connections with my Broadway, with the Broadway experiences that I've had, especially like Aladdin, because I worked with one of the resident directors there when I was doing Casa Manana, like in Texas. So it's really cool. It's been a really cool experience
Then walk me through coming out of Texas and what did you when did you make it to New York? Were you performing regionally in tours and things, or did you come to New York and then leave New York? Like, is that that typical story?
No, it's actually very interesting because I did not want to come to New York. I went to college. I went to the University of Oklahoma for musical theater. And during that time, my junior senior year, we had the head of our theater department at that time, the dean, Paul Christman, he actually taught at the Stage Entertainment Academy in Hamburg, Germany. And he would bring their casting directors to come and do workshops with us, because we were very used to that in school, to have like Broadway performers fortunate enough to come out and just like give us tips, and we sing for them and dance for them. There was one particular guy, Ralph Schadler, who came from Germany because he knew Paul. He came and he saw our productions our senior year, and before we knew it, we were auditioning for every single production that they had in Germany. So, and we didn't think it was an audition, so next thing I know, he's giving me stuff for Lion King. Mind you, all these shows are going on at that time in Germany. Some of these shows were not on Broadway at the time. But it was Lion King, Tarzan, Sister Act, and Dirty Dancing kind of popped up at the end. So I did a situation like right before graduation where they called me and three other people back from my school. Went to Hamburg with first time out of the country to audition for them in person because they paid for that. They helped us to get there. And school was so supportive. I really thank them for that experience. Went there, ended up getting the job. Dirty Dancing was kind of thrown in there at the end, saying like, hey, did you want to sing it? Because it was all English, but everything else was German. So I had to kind of learn. We had like a tutor from school to learn. It was just an amazing transition. Ended up getting the job. And then I moved to Germany, stayed in Germany for a year and a half to do Dirty Dancing. Then ended up, or not a year and a half, I'm sorry. It was like maybe 8 months actually. And the show ended up closing down. And I was like, okay, great. Now I'm going to go to New York because I've always had a heart for wanting to travel. I love to travel. But then that happened. I was like, okay, New York. Called my agent. Was like, they're shutting out a show. Then all of a sudden, Legally Blonde came up. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll audition for this and treat it like a vacation. Because with auditions out there, it was very different. You had to like audition every single month and not like days at a time because they would be in other countries. So their system is a bit different from New York, whereas you can go down the street and audition. So I went down there and you know, ran into Jerry Mitchell down in Australia. And I was like, oh, hey, like he came to the audition. And he ended up casting me as, you know, cover Pilar and the saleswoman judge. And I moved to Vienna and stayed there for a year and a half. And then there was a point where they were like, well, they want you for Sister Act, because they initially wanted me to go B in Sister Act to start off. But they were like, no, you don't speak German yet, so we'll just ease you into it. We'll put you in Dirty Dancing. We'll teach you everything. It was a great company. Then Sister Act came up again in Germany, ended up auditioning for that. And I went to be in Sister Act, and that was my last show there. I was getting ready to do The Bodyguard, but this is a little transition story. I'm almost done. I know it's
no, please keep going.
But yeah, so I had the opportunity to do The Bodyguard in Germany. That was going to be the next show that I wanted to do. But unfortunately, both of my parents got really sick at that time. And I had been in overseas for at least 3.5 years by that point. And I made the decision to come home and just be with them. I had not auditioned in the city for over 3 years at that point. And I wasn't planning to come to New York. I was planning to come home for my family and to take care of them. And I did that, and my agents were like, hey, we understand that you're there to take care of your family, but The Color Purple would like to see you. We submitted you. It's up to you. If you want to come, like, come out for a week. And I was like, sure. I've been living overseas for 3 years. I would love to see my friends. I always make an event out of these auditions. Like, I always make it like, oh, I'm going to see things and do things. Ended up doing that, and the rest is history. And that's how I came to New York. So it was a very, very crazy, I like to call it divine intervention, because I was not planning on coming to New York at all. And then there was a moment it switched, and I was like, oh, I like it. I like New York City, and I think I could do this. Maybe I could do this. And that's when I fell in love with the city, and then Color Purple just happened to happen. And yeah, from there, now all the way to 6, and I've been here ever since. I've been back home for, it'll be 5 years in October.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So 2016 was Color Purple, right?
Yeah.
So 2016, you've been here. So 2017 kind of is when 6 started ramping up in the UK. When did you get involved? Well, I mean, were you picked to audition for the tour, or was it just another audition? And you were like, this is some weird music. I guess I'll try it.
It was sort of like that, but like a little bit a happier tone with it, I guess. Like, it was just a random situation. I was at home. I just got done with the Color Purple tour, and my agent just called me and said, hey, there's this awesome musical out that's a huge hit in London. Would you like to come in and audition? I was like, sure. It was just one of those normal days of getting things from my agent and going in and audition, listen to the music. And when I went to the audition and they were saying, okay, we want you to put on your best Beyonce vibes. Now, remember, I told you I was that girl that was in her room, locked up or whatever. And Beyonce was one of the people that I used to watch. I used to watch her live at Wembley concert. That was her very first concert that she did solo. And I memorized that thing. So I was like, oh, this is the perfect. I've been practicing for this 4 years. Let's go. And the rest is history. So that's kind of how 6 came into my life. It wasn't like they saw me, let's put her in. I auditioned for it, didn't went through the whole process.
That's so cool. And so the Michael Bublé concert, was before all of this or in between?
That was in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of people kind of misconstrue when they think I've been on tour with him. I did not go on tour with him. I was just a part of his tour whenever he stopped in Oklahoma City.
Because
I was, right. At that time, I was a freshman in college, and that's a weird story too, how that happened. I was doing Little Shop of Horrors in the regional theater there, and the drummer happened to be one of the production people on his tour, and apparently Michael Bublé at that time, don't know if he still does this, with every city that he went to would try to find regional singers just to be a part of his concert and to experience that. And just by luck or something, they were like, hey, Johnny, you want to do this? Did not know who the man was at the time. No idea. I was like, yeah, sure. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm a high school kid. I'm like, oh, they're paying me money. Sure. Like, I have no money. Let's go. Like, you know, it'll be a great experience. I tell my friends who it is, and they're like, hey, Johnny, do you even know what is happening? I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't know who he was, and my roommate was in love with him. It was really a good time.
That's probably part of how you got it too, because a lot of people get auditions that they don't like, that they don't, you know, care, make a big deal out of it. They just go in there, it's like, whatever, I'm just gonna be myself. And yeah. then you nailed it. You nailed yeah. it. But the so six, how much history did you know about the Tudors and about the wives of Henry VIII and everything beforehand? I mean, did you have to do like research into this, or did you just go in here like, this is a pop concert, and then you learn the history afterwards?
Well, to answer your first question, I didn't know so much up to Jane Seymour. I only knew about the Queens up to there, only because of the TV show, The Tudors.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much the only information that I had about them, and just knowing it was a famous, you know, monarchy or whatever. But going into the show, we actually did like a whole research project on our individual queens, and we did a presentation during the rehearsal process of like what each queen had to go through, and also what they actually, how they contributed to history. So I honestly didn't learn a huge chunk about Catherine of Aragon until I started the show. Aside from that, she was, you know, just discarded by Henry because she couldn't produce they couldn't produce a male heir. And that was it. That was a really cool experience to even learn about the other queens. And I was like, oh, she's my favorite queen. Like, it wasn't even my queen. I was like, oh my gosh, she did that. What? Like, it was about the queens that I, you know, a lot of people don't really talk about, but yeah, that's how I learned about them.
That's so cool. I loved it. That there's a true aspect to all of this, and I think good directors and good writers are always going to do this. And I don't know how frequently this is done, but I mean, you know, the in Jagged Little Pill, they had to do the same thing. They had to give like full presentations and on like some pretty serious subject matter, right? Like you're talking about, you know, sexual abuse and, you know, lots of other things that aren't exactly talked about in mainstream until recently. But I really love that the writers and the directors and everything really come together and have you uncover more than what is just in black and white on the script in front of you.
Yeah.
And it was cool too that you say that your favorite queen is not Catherine of Aragon too.
Like, of course, like in the back of your mind, like, yeah, it's a favorite queen because it's you. But now, at first, I was like, oh, wow, because I'm learning about everyone else. But yeah, that is a real thing. It kind of varies, though. I kind of switch, actually. Like, it'll be me one day, and then it'll be Cleves one day, and then Seymour one day. Like, that's just kind of where the show kind of takes you, you know? I don't know. I like them all equally. Let's just say that. That's right now.
Well, the show is, you know, all equal parts, all six queens are all just like, we are great people. We have done great things. It's all about women's empowerment. And it's such an incredible thing. And then on top of all that, it's just colorblind casting. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing right now. And there's a lot of barriers being broken. And obviously there's still not enough in terms of diversity and casting and whatnot. But, you know, for you, do you get feedback, or I guess you didn't, you know, you had a month of stage door feedback at Broadway and all that, but like the tour and the Chicago run and everything, and then even the limited time you had on Broadway, you know, what kind of feedback did you get from, you know, from fan letters or fan, and you have like some fan art I saw on your Instagram. You know, what are people taking away from all of this?
Oh man, it's like a sense of, revival for women, I kind of say, with this show. And like, it just feels like it's amazing to see the various things that people are taking away from this. And I'm talking about from all different, you know, genres, all types of
demographics.
Peoples, yeah. Right, exactly. They're literally walking away with a sense of enlightenment and a sense of like just empowerment of as being a person and also an individual person, which I am very, very proud to be a part of, especially for women like me to be able to see themselves on stage and be like, and you have your own part, but you're not like pigeonholed into be, you know, you're not this girl, but you have a mix of all of this, you know. I think that has been, that's been the most that I've heard about that, amongst other things. I don't even really know how to pinpoint just the specific things, but it's just such, it impacts people in so many ways that you don't even think about. You know, there are moments in my performance that people have told me individually of like, it was really moving when you did this part. And I'm like, really? And I'm thinking to myself, wow, like this is so cool because, you know, there's lights and there's this, you know, the glam aspect of the show that you wouldn't, at first you wouldn't think like that they would be distracted by that. But a lot of people are listening and they're paying attention to the how clever and witty the show is. And that's been cool to see people be like, yep, that's what happened. Or be like, oh, they nailed it when they do House of Holbein and he did this and that. That's been really rewarding to see. And just people just wanting to stand up in their seats and, you know, just applaud in places that they don't do. This is not a musical. Like you're like, it's a musical, but it's a pop concert. It's like an amazing hybrid of things. And to see people kind of process that and be like, why are you looking at me? Like the fourth wall, what, like, why are you looking at me? The fourth wall should be up. Yeah, it's amazing what a lot of people walk around with this. I hope that made sense, but I don't even, that's literally the feeling. It's like everyone is inspired by the show in multiple ways that I don't even think words really can express, or I even have,
It's a feel good concert and a history lesson that is a Broadway show.
Right. That's a great example. Exactly. That's a great explanation for the show.
and it works. And then like you and the other queens, you have so much fun up there. Like mm-hmm. you all seem to be genuinely good, like real friends. And even in those moments, I like watching people in the moments when they don't think they're being watched, when like, I like watching the other five when there's a solo going on and all of you are just like making faces and listening. Like, it just looks like so much fun every night. It's a lot of work, but it seems like you're really enjoying it every single time.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I saw the final preview. I was there March 11th. Oh,
wonderful. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Oh, I'm so glad you got to see it. That's awesome.
Well, there will be more opportunities, but yeah, I mean, you and the other girls, like, did you know any of them beforehand, or have you all just like become great friends through this whole process?
I knew of Anna Uzele. I of course I've heard of Abby Mueller, of course, like, but never really had an opportunity to interact with her until the show. And Anna Uzele, she was a friend of a friend of mine, working at actually an Oklahoma theater that I used to work at in school. So I still hadn't met her, but I just knew her of a friend of friends. And then like we connected because we were like, oh yeah, you know my friend, this, this, and this. So yeah, I didn't, but on outside of that, no, I didn't know any of the ladies, and I met them at the audition process there. We just clicked. They're just so great. They're so, so great.
Yeah, everybody seems like so much fun, and everyone connects, and you just, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just fun. That's when you have that much fun on stage for as long as you have, and you did the tour. The tour came first, and then in the tour, did you know that it was going to move to Broadway, and did you know that you were going to be part of that move?
No, and no, I didn't. Like, it was pretty much a tryout, you know, like in Chicago, we were there, and they took a chance on bringing it to America. And even our writers, Toby and Lucy, they even changed some of the script to be, okay, oh yeah, we don't, y'all say that here. Okay, y'all don't say that here. We're going to change this. And yeah, it was that we had no clue until people started to hint like, oh, you guys are going to Broadway. Like, you should go to Broadway. And I hope that you come with it. And I was like, I would love to come with this show. You just let me know whenever we go to Broadway, like, please just call me if you want me to come, you know. Nothing was, you know, set in stone or guaranteed. There were just talks about it. And then we yeah, we were trying to contain ourselves. Even when we found out that it was official, we were like, okay, we can't say anything. But, you know, at that time, it was we were getting ready to go to Boston at that time. So, and then they made the announcement about them coming to Broadway, but they didn't announce who was going to come either. So it was just this little process of like kind of being like, okay, we're going to wait till they announce our names. Then we'll like post about it. So yeah, it was a process of not knowing. Then we knew and we had to wait to be, you know, for confirmation. And then we really knew. And then we got contracts and we're like, okay, let's go.
Well, I mean, this is case in point that until you open, you don't know if you're going to open.
That's real. Listen, I've learned, I've lived and learned that that's the thing. Until I get that paper, then we'll be able to do what we got to do, which is you got to do it like that. Mm-hmm.
So you actually didn't do the last 2 weeks of the Chicago run because you left to do The Wiz, right?
I did.
So how, like, was that a last minute thing or was that planned in advance? Or how'd you get out of the contract for that?
Oh, man, that was, let me think back. I ended up getting The Wiz before I got sick. So I know that it was a talk about making sure that we let Chicago Shakespeare know that, and they were very gracious. They wanted me to stay for the duration of the run, of course, but they were really gracious with that. They were just like, okay, if you want to go, cool, because you've talked to us about it. You've already put that in your contracts, and we already know that. But if you want to stay, like, please, they were so sweet about it. But yeah, so The Wiz kind of happened. I auditioned for The Wiz, I want to say around the same time as Six, but The Wiz was like a shorter audition period. Then they let me know that I got it, and it was right before I found out about Six. So yeah, it was already in the plans. They let, you know, like that, it's crazy because, you know, summer stock, they have auditions way in advance before the actual season. So it was just perfect timing. I let them know, and I'm thankful that I got to have that option to play a role that I honestly never thought that I would play. Never thought that I would play her, but she, Dorothy. she has a very special place in my heart. I have to say that was one of the shows that I don't know, like, you know, as you being a performer, you knowing about the arts. There are moments that you have on stage where you're like, this is what I'm meant to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. And Dorothy was definitely opportunity for that. So I thank Chicago Shakespeare for letting me go and do it. And also for Six being willing to have me come back and be a part of their production.
Well, you helped make it what it is. I mean, I heard so many positive things, so many great, everything I heard was positive. I didn't hear anything negative. Coming out of the Chicago production, and it was just amazing. And I went to there was a press after the Broadway announced the Broadway announcement. It was like last October, I think. There was a little press performance that you guys did here in New York, and I was at that, and it was so neat because I didn't know anything about it, and I on purpose. I try not to read or listen before I know I'm going to see something. And I was, you know, I just watched it. And I said, this is so different. But it works. This is creating its own thing again.
Yeah.
And I mean, the fact that, you know, even a not, this is kind of the Be More Chill phenomenon too, that a not Broadway cast recording has been streamed over 100, you know, hundreds of millions of times. Other than Hamilton, it's the most downloaded, most streamed cast recording.
It's bizarre, right?
And it's not
and
even
we're
open.
All
on,
walking into this, like,
yeah, not even open on Broadway yet.
Not even.
Are you guys going to do your own Broadway recording? Are you allowed to tell us?
Oh, I mean, I hope so. I hope that happens. There hasn't been further information as far as I know, but I'm sure if there was, I couldn't say anything. But as far as I hope that we do. That's all I can really say about that. I really hope that we do. But the album that they have already is just those ladies sing. They're just, oh man, the album is already great. But I would hope that they would want to do a Broadway recording just so that they can have more opportunities to win more awards for what their great work, because they've done some good work. And I feel like with the Broadway recording, they'll be able to, like, you know, come up for that Grammy or go up for other things, other recognition. Yeah, because they deserve it. They're just amazing writers.
Now, Toby and Lucy, they're not even 30 yet. Like, and, God.
And they like, we would joke about that every day. Be like, what was I doing at 23, 24? Like, what was I doing in there? Oh, man, they bought such a, yeah, they're just great. They're just so great.
Yeah. Oh man. I would love to chat with them. They're on my list, obviously, to talk with. But it makes sense to me to do a Broadway recording because you know they polished it. I was reading an article. It came out of your Instagram story or your Instagram link actually that was like the making of it and the stuff that finally when they got to Broadway, the production gets to Broadway, they got to realize a bunch of like small subtle things that they've always wanted to do and changing just a little, you know, they still hold true to the show and the costumes and the music, but they, you know, get to tweak, you know, as a little bit of the, of some realization, I think it's during the Anna of Cleves, sing, Anna of Cleves, did I say that right?
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so like her costume change, that number in the costume change, and then like small set things and some lighting changes and just stuff that when you get to Broadway, you know, you got to do it a little bit differently.
Okay. Yeah.
And obviously, when you listen to the cast recording, they're all British. You can hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know,
Yeah. So I think a soundtrack, or sorry, an OBC.
Yeah.
Don't want to offend the theater listeners out there. An OBC is hopefully, I think, would be in the cards once everything gets back to normal.
I hope so too. I'm crossing my fingers for that. That would be amazing.
Cool. Well, let's wrap up this episode here with my three standard closing questions that I ask everybody. The first one, very simply, is what motivates you?
What motivates me? Love motivates me. Love, God, all these things. I don't know, just like maybe love motivates me in everything that I do. I hope that is that. But I think that's what that is.
All right, so the next question is, what advice would you give to your younger self and younger people listening now starting out down a similar path?
Enjoy the process. And love yourself through the process. Don't rush anything and just take your time. Like really, really enjoy every step of the way because every step of the way it's never in vain. It's never in vain. Just always remember that. Yeah.
You're going to find yourself where you need to be when you need to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last question, hardest one. If you could only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
That is a hard question. Oh, no. Ooh. Give me like 2 seconds. I think it would probably be Ragtime for me.
Oh, yeah?
Ragtime. Yeah, I've always been obsessed with just the brilliance in that show and the messages and like the bringing of people together and the message of humanity, how we are all the human race, and we are all coming together to build beautiful things on the earth. That's kind of like, it's kind of out there with that show. Like they don't necessarily talk about all stuff like that, but it's like, just, you kind of see that with the building up of America in that show, which is, that's always been the message with me that they present it. And they did such a good job with that. So maybe it'll be Ragtime.
All right. Well, we can find you on social media. You're Miss Adriana Hicks on Instagram, Ms. Adriana Hicks on Twitter, just MS, like his character limits.
Right.
Yep. I understand that completely. That's why I'm not the theater podcast, because of stupid Twitter character limits. But you can get me on Instagram and Twitter at @theater_podcast. You can find more episodes and more of this Corin Queen takeover on thetheaterpodcast.com. Listen, wherever you're listening, please leave a review, leave a rating. This is edited by Matthew Handershot, music by Jukebox the Ghost. And Adriana, thank you most of all. I have thoroughly enjoyed this, and I hope you stay safe and healthy.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much for having me.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suf'smusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.